One of the keys to the kingdom of healthcare is something called the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Well, it's being rewritten, which means patients, insurance companies, and pharmaceuticals all have a vested interest in what diseases make it into the DSM and those which are taken out. Joining us now is New York Times science reporter Benedict Carey, who's been covering the changes. Good morning, and thank you for joining us, Ben.
Thanks very much. Nice to be here.
So it is a very complicated and hard-fought battle for which diseases make it in and which are taken out. Where does it stand today? What are some of the issues at stake?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them. It's a huge book. It's one of the big, juicy books of medicine, probably about 900 to 1,000 pages long. It is like an encyclopedia. And it's divided up into sections, categories of disorders that run from like substance abuse all the way up to personality disorders. And so there are little battles that occur in trying to include or maybe exclude certain things. So I'll give a few examples. Something called binge eating disorder is something that a lot of people want to include. Okay, it's however a somewhat normal behavior. A lot of people do that. So there's some real debate about whether it belongs in there as a disorder.
Because essentially, if a disease makes it into the book, it's more likely to be covered by insurance companies. It's more likely that the drug companies will spend time looking for some kind of cure or something to help that person who's suffering from that disease. And if it's not in there, then it may not be covered.
That's right. The diseases have codes, diagnostic codes, which are used to get insurance coverage. And so once something's in there, not only can you get coverage, or you should be able to get coverage, but it also drives research and, as you say, drug development. So it really creates a kind of institution out of a disorder or a description that wasn't one before.
Who decides?
Well, the DSM is published by the American Psychiatric Association. They choose panels of experts, mostly psychiatrists, some other kinds of experts, who focus on specific parts. So there's one group looking at substance abuse, another group looking at mood disorders, another at personality disorders. Those groups then take, they meet, they look at the evidence, they make recommendations to an overall task force. And that group, it's a group of, I think, about 28 people, some big shots in psychiatry, sit around, look at this stuff, and decide, okay, is adult ADD really a full-on disorder?
Oh, yeah, it is.
That kind of stuff.
Oh, definitely.
Well, what's controversial this go-around? Because it's not a manual that is updated that often, only every 7 or 10 years?
That's right. It takes some time to develop evidence in these areas, and I think that's part of the reason why they wait. Almost everything's controversial that they do for the reasons we just explained, that it matters so much in terms of reimbursement and research. So one of the things that almost certainly be controversial is something called gender identity disorder, which is described in the DSM manual, the current one, as a dissatisfaction, deep dissatisfaction with your born biological gender. This is a very active group split about what the DSM should say about this. Some want it out altogether. They want nothing to do with psychiatrists and feel it should not be labeled a mental disorder. Others argue that, well, if it is a diagnosis, it's at least one way to get treatments covered. And so there's some real controversy and debate about that in the transgender community. But that's one for sure that will be controversial.
So does it boil down to what the medical research says, or does it boil down to whoever is the most powerful politically when the decision is being made?
Well, it's tricky to answer that. The psychiatrist certainly would say the scientific research, but this is a field that, of course, has no blood tests for medical disorder, for disorders. So there's a lot that is in the interpretation. And so you look at sort of what's been done the last 7 to 10 years, and you sort of argue about it and and make a decision that way. And yes, I think that certainly factions can form. People have their biases. the whole debate about homosexuality in the 1970s, there were psychiatrists who believed that that should be included as a mental disorder. There were others who disagreed. And so a lot of this sort of back and forth goes on in these meetings.
How much of the DSM relates to standard of care issues, the treatments, as opposed to actually including something as a disease or a specific disorder?
Zero on treatments.
Really?
Nothing. Yeah.
So the doctors can do anything as far as treatment is concerned. Really, all we're talking about is a description of the disease, symptoms that characterize it, and its classification and code.
Exactly. That's all we're talking about, and that's a difficult thing to do, again, because this is not cardiology. There are no good hard biological markers to say you have, this or that, or you have, an overactive prostate or whatever it is. This is a matter of sort of organizing these behavioral descriptions into groupings that seem to sort of fit the person and a description.
Can you quickly tell us some of the disorders or diseases that are going to be taken out of DSM this go-round?
Let me think. I think there's only one. Well, there's a couple things that might happen. One is, this is all handicapping, by the way. The APA, the American Psychiatric Association, is trying to contain discussion about this a little bit. No one knows what's going to happen, but for example, Asperger's syndrome is a developmental disorder, characterized by sort of social oddity and difficulty. Very difficult to distinguish that from what they call high-functioning autism. So that's one conversation that will happen. Asperger's may be folded into high-functioning autism. It would be a huge deal because Asperger's is its own subculture, and there's a sort of self-identity that goes into that and is considered by many to be distinct, just very hard to distinguish them, the diagnosis.
Benedict Carey is a science writer with our partner, The New York Times, and his piece on the DSM appears in today's paper.